So, Mark, I'm telling you, she likes this whole Mrs. Claus thing.
How so?
She wears a bun in her hair, granny glasses, but also these thigh-high red boots, and she has a riding crop like they use on the reindeer.
Hey-ho, Silver! Away!
The following podcast contains graphic descriptions of international celebrating and global merrymaking. It may not be suitable for angry or unhappy audience members. Listener discretion is advised. You've been warned.
Have you ever seen any of those foreign films? I don't like them.
Good year! Ride it, Divina!
Some are born great, others achieve greatness, and some watch Christmas movies.
For Natale! Darn it, Christmas! We are the Wild and Pretty Guys!
Well, they're both festive, aren't they?
And we are the Festive Foreign Film Fans. Well, howdy, Mark.
Bob, it's so funny to run into you here.
I know, especially when we've been so busy. We're coming out of October, going into holiday season.
Let's get ready. I'm excited.
Though I have to ask, we're only not even a week away from Halloween. And Mark, what were you? What did you dress up for?
I'm going to describe it. Okay. You have to guess it. Okay? Okay. So I had on a headband.
Okay.
I had on
Jimi Hendrix.
I like where you're going. I don't have the hair. I had on several medals. So think about gold, silver, bronze medals with a ribbon around my neck.
Oh, Michael Phelps.
And I was carrying two loaves of bread.
You lost me.
I was the breadwinner.
That's creative. I was gonna guess Jenner, Bruce Jenner.
That and would I was be gonna a whole say,
were
different.
You in, were you in heels?
Whole different costume. I know it's a little punny, but you know.
Well, you know, and I don't really get to dress up because I'm sure I've told you about this, how in town I get to drive the trick-or-treat wagon.
Yes.
So we get a wagon, I decorate the Jeep up with trick-or-treat on it, and I put on a costume, and all the little kids who can't walk through the neighborhood, they all climb on a hay wagon, and we drive around, we play loud Christmas or Halloween music, and it's very, very fun. It's one of the best things I get to do.
That what a fun thing to do. And you need that wagon because your neighborhood's quite spread out.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we got my second favorite season done, but now we're in the stretch here, Mark. This is our time.
Knock, knock, knock.
In fact, I was trying to think, maybe we could have done a Halloween costume as a Festive Foreign Film Fan. You know what I mean? Like I could, you know, I don't know. Carrying a movie and looking like a tourist. I don't know. But so, Mark, I know we've talked about this. We talked about it when we first started this, our podcast, how we both have our tradition where we like to do something secret with the family. And I'm not going to put you on the spot because I know you're thinking about it. And I know you have some ideas. But you know, just for our listeners, can you share, like, what was one of the most fun ones that you did? And then also, you know, as we've announced here, well, we talk about Jackson, who your little grandson, and then we also have our podcast mascot, our pod mascot, Lena. So does that change things? Like, do they come? Do they not come? What happens now? With you know, the family outing.
I think you exceeded the number of questions that I can answer. So a couple of things. So the favorite one I think can change. Trying to capture 25 years in my head, right?
Yeah,
I know. About all the things we've done. But, you know, the one that I that most recently in the last five to 6 years that I think has meant a lot to me was we went to see the Pentatonix Christmas. I mean, and it was, what's so special about it is like, I certainly knew of Pentatonix and my, you know, my family knew about them, but I didn't know how beautiful they would sound. And what made it special is that at several points in the during the concert, each one of us, all six of us, were crying.
Oh, wow.
Like, there's some of the music was so impactful. I think the crying winner was their version of Hallelujah was breathtaking. And so when we all left the concert, we were all just like, oh, wow. What was that? And there, even though it was a Christmas show, they also, their version of Bohemian Rhapsody was just, it was mesmerizing. And so I'd say that's most recently one of our favorite because all of us just were enthralled in this performance. And we just all walked away with it, with feeling really jubilant about the season too. Cause you know, they ended with mostly Christmas, you know, will it change? Yeah, it will. It's, you know, you've probably seen it too, Bob, with your traditions, right? As your children get girlfriends, boyfriends, special friends, it's like, you know, do you invite them? Don't you invite them? You know, we never included any of the girlfriends until they were more college age, a little bit more serious. But I think with Jackson and Lena, I don't think this year, although I think Jackson could probably deal with a short concert type of thing, but I think we'll start incorporating them in the future years.
You know, I think, first off, some of ours have crossed paths before. You know, we've done the same things, but we've never done Pentatonix. And now hearing what you said, that's got to be on our list at some point there. And I was thinking, you know, with the kids, in some ways it adds an element, a new element that you're going to pick things that are appropriate for them. But you know what? Those are those things like that with nostalgia and sentiment that you'll want to do too, that maybe you felt as four or six adults, you didn't want to go, but now with the kids, oh, we're going to Zoo Lights. We're doing, you know, something like that. So that does, but Mark, you also have to say the one I remember that I thought was great was when you saw Jane Lynch and Meredith from The Office, which is, I can't think of her real name, but, and you met them. Yeah, when you saw them sing that concert, and that was awesome.
You know, one of the things too, it will be interesting in the future is, will we do a re-over, like a redo? Because I've never done anything twice.
It's been like a personal mission not to do a repeat.
Yeah. So what's one of your most recent favorites or your favorites in general?
Well, what I was going to say, at first I was like favorite, but then I thought I'll talk about the disaster one, which you probably heard of was that this was way back when our kids were like tiny and my mother-in-law, she always comes with us and she was in, so we had strollers and all that. And I had looked up online for in the city of Chicago, this event, and it was supposed to be a performance, a show, a performance that was, you know, got raves and all this stuff. And, we showed up and I could tell from when the neighborhood we pulled in, we're like, this is interesting. And we get in there and the people are like, you know, cause grandma's got her, you know, holiday sweater on. And like I said, pulling the strollers. And they said, are you sure you're in the right spot? Because it was a drag burlesque show with my, you know, 2 and 4 year old sons. So they could not have been nicer. They treated us really well, but that was one of those. And we talk about that one all the time. It's
that's
one of the
funny,
most memorable.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's, I do remember that story. Well, you know, that's the thing. Cause sometimes not everyone's been as good as the other, right?
Yeah.
There's never been one where we didn't enjoy it.
Oh
right?
Yeah.
Yes. And I was last thought on it. I just, again, bring this out. The one that I would say was sort of horrible, Mannheim Steamroller.
Oh, really?
It was.
That surprises me.
So, yeah, I thought this would be a great Christmas show and it's Christmas music. And so for the first 45 minutes of the show, they played some of their Christmas music. Then they got into this psychedelic mood music with lava lamp things behind you. And the keyboardist kept on swaying back and forth. And I'm just literally sitting there, man, I wish edibles were legal then. Because it was strange.
So I'm hearing pentatonics, yes. Mannheim's Dream Roller, maybe not.
Maybe not.
Unless we get some edibles ahead of time. Yes. Some Christmas edibles.
Christmas edibles.
Well, I'm excited. Do you want to talk about a movie?
I do.
Want to watch a Christmas movie?
Christmas movies are our bread and butter.
We eat Chinese food and watch Christmas movies.
I heard it's the best Christmas movie since Home Alone.
Okay, so first off, you know, inadvertently we backed into, I want to say I planned this, but here we are in November, and where are we going for our Christmas movie? Turkey.
Why not?
Isn't that, that's just perfect. We're 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving, and we're going to Turkey. But this movie, and I want to pronounce, Neshali Hayat. Now, Mark, when I first watched this movie, oh, well, let me talk about the actors first. I'll tell you about the actors. Again, putting out the disclaimer, apologize. I'm going to try to pronounce these names because these all were wonderful. But Yilmaz Erdogan, he plays Riza Senyurt. Riza, who's the main, he's our main character in the show. He is of Kurdish origin. He studied civil engineering, so he didn't start out as an actor, but then he dropped out to join theater. So he's a civil engineer. He almost looks like a civil engineer. He really
agreed.
Does. He hasn't been in, I couldn't find any English language films, but this guy is talented. I'm a screenwriter. He started his own theater company. He wrote his own one-man show, and he recorded a poetry album.
Wow.
Very talented. And in the show, his wife is played by Busra Pekin, who Alia Senyurt. And as we go into the show, she is an amazing character through the show that is quiet, but you got to, if you watch it and study her, what she puts up with a smile and grace is amazing. But as an actress, as a person, she was born in Saudi Arabia, but she is of Turkish descent, grew up in Turkey and in the United States. It's interesting because she here is in a more, I guess, kind of a dramatic role, but she is a comedian. She's a comedian and also a director. Again, no English language films that she has done. And then finally, the other person to call out is... he plays Alia's brother, and so he's Riz's, Razi, I guess they kind of call him in the movie, Razi. Yeah. His brother-in-law, his real name is Ersin Kurku, and his character's name is Yusuf Lakman Baal. Now, he actually is the real-life cousin of our main actor, Yilmaz Erdogan. He's his cousin. He's also Kurdish origin, and he's a comedian. He's a comic actor, and you can tell his rubbery face, and he's very funny. He doesn't have any English language films, but he did play, and you can actually see this as you see him as a character. He played the Turkish version of Monk, the character, the TV character Monk. He played him in the Turkish adaptation, which he kind of looks like.
He does.
Yep.
He does.
And I want to talk about this film because when it first started and when I first watched it, I mean, it starts off, and someone might argue it's a bit slow because, Razi is he's the saddest sack. You don't feel sorry for him. You're just like, he just seems like nothing can go. And he seems like he complains all the time. The movie starts. He is dressed like a slipper. He's a mascot for a soccer team.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get him. Can you move around? Can you jump up? Can you be happy? And he's not having any of it. He's like, the costume's too heavy. He's just not a happy person. And that is our introduction to him. And so as his life, as it starts to unfold, we learn a lot of things about him. He lives in an apartment owned by his wife's older brother. He was once a chef, and owned a restaurant, but I think it probably opened around 2008 when the market crashed. That's what I think, because he opens this restaurant, the market crashes, and he smashes the cash register and never goes back to his restaurant. And he also makes a point, and his wife does, like I said, the wonderful thing about her, she works very hard. She's a seamstress, but she's making all the food. She's doing everything without complaint. But she's, once in a while, she will kind of needle him about, he took her, so they receive, when you get married there in Turkey, you receive gold.
Right.
And he took half of her gold and invested in the restaurant and lost it. And then he also, and this is pretty much the dramatic point of this, the film also, is we introduce Razi, we meet his wife. Then we also meet the brother-in-law, who is thrown out by the elder brother, who owns the whole building, tossed out, moves in with Razi and his wife. So now she takes on her brother. She's cooking for all of them. And then also Razi's being sued by his friends. He gets served papers, and you're like, could anything more go wrong with this guy? And what we learn is after he lost the restaurant, he was at the tea house gambling, and a guy comes in. And he really introduces them all to a multi-level marketing scheme called Jolly Life, which is what Nashile Hayat means, Jolly Life, of which he buys into it big time, goes in, takes the rest of the gold, invests it into Jolly Life, and solicits all his friends. Hey, right. You sell the products, you pay me, I pay the guy above me, he pays the guy above me, we're all happy. And he always talks about at the meeting, he sees somebody who got a villa. He's like, how could you not want a villa? Because they all live in apartments. And which is, and I wonder, did you notice that? It's like, I think this film is from 2009. But when you see like a lot of the appliances in their apartment, very old world. But it's modern. It's modern, but it seemed very old world.
It's interesting. To talk about a little bit about their apartment where they all live. So yes, just so maybe the viewers can hear this, or if hopefully they'll watch it, is that this is like a 3 or 4 room apartment. In fact, like the only thing separating the bedroom of the husband and wife from her brother is a cloth
curtain,
right? Yeah. So like there's no privacy, and she takes him in, but she clearly babies her baby brother. Yes, he can do no wrong. Let's feel bad for him. Even though her husband has lost all the gold, lost his restaurant, being sued, she still looks at her brother as being the one who's really in trouble.
Yeah. We need to, we need to take care of him. And there are some subplots here. One being that she wants a child with Razi, and she's serving him honey that this nurse, which I think is kind of like not a witch doctor, but more spiritual type, says, eat honey, this is good for fertility and you'll have a baby. So she wants her husband to eat the honey so they can have a baby. And her brother has a girlfriend that he has got pregnant so he can marry her.
Right.
So we got the lawsuit, we got Jolly Life, we got Razi being sued by his friends. And now we got the brother and who's got his girlfriend pregnant. And this is not only are the appliances kind of old world, the customs still are.
That's right.
Because Razi and his sister, because the elder brother has rejected the younger brother, he's the elder, but the elder has to go to the other family to ask for her hand in marriage. So now Razi, in his current state of mind, and his wife have to go and ask for the hand of marriage. Now, all of this aside, you're saying, well, wait, where is the Christmas in this? Well, where Christmas gets injected is, so Razi needs money to pay for his attorney. he doesn't like his job. He works now at a, like an entertainment company where everybody dresses in costumes that they go out. And we're talking about like cell phones and giant burgers and those types of costumes where you see the people handing out leaflets. Well, Razzie becomes Santa Claus. And it's so interesting because he doesn't really know. I mean, he knows of Santa Claus, but he really needs to be educated on, like, he has to go through this whole thing about ho, how do you say ho, 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 ho. And he's like, ho, ho, ho is what we said to call the animals at the farm.
That scene where the guy is trying to teach the three people how to say ho, ho, ho. One guy's like, ho, ho, ho. And he's like, no, ho, ho, ho. And the guy's like, oh, ho, ho. It just, I'm doing it no justice, but it just added a nice comic relief to that.
Comic relief. And this is where the real heart of the movie kicks in, because Razzie becomes Santa. Mm-hmm. And you realize, as sad and down and depressed he is, he makes a pretty good Santa. You see him and it's like, you know, he's out there and he has to stand in front of a toy shop and just say for 12 hours, ho, 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 and Happy New Year. And he gets, I think, an hour for lunch and that's it. And every, you know, he's constantly having to run to the court or run here because now his brother-in-law, that, you know, the family has, of course, they've agreed for him to get married because, but then they say, if he's not married before she starts to show, they're going to kill his brother-in-law. Right. And they want nothing to do with the wedding. And now, not only does Razzie have to pay for his lawyer, he also now has to find a way to put on a wedding. And, but, you know, slowly his ho-ho-hos are coming along. You see him kidding and goofing around with the kids and all that. And as the movie unfolds, he becomes a Santa-like figure. The girls at the store like him.
Yep.
The guy at the store who gets is really tough boss, but they actually kind of have a great moment at the end. By playing Santa, he comes to a lot of realizations, I think, about the things that are happening in his life. And he almost becomes better able to address them or face them up. And the one thing his boss says to him at the end, like, he's embarrassed to tell his wife that this is his job. And his boss is like, you broke your back standing for 12 hours just to bring money home. You know, how could you not share that with him? And he had a great line, like, you know, it's hard when you're at the bottom.
Right.
And you pour everything into what you do, but you're embarrassed about what you do.
That's right.
And I mean, You see this, and I think we all could feel for him. I mean, everything's going wrong. Every time he tries to do something to dig himself out of it, something goes wrong. But in the end, he keeps his Santa suit on for his brother-in-law's wedding. He goes out, collects a bunch of money for his brother-in-law, gets the wedding on, is able to pay off his friends.
Yep.
And which in classic movie fashion, they come home and he's like, honey, we don't need honey. What we need is, you know, you can't focus on your problems.
Right.
And I think he feels like he's just married off his brother-in-law, the family has reconciled.
Right.
That was a great thing. The elder brother comes, gives money, and you can see has a nice time, and they have some good moments at the end. Her family, who said they weren't going to go to the wedding, they show up, and mother shows up and brings the gold and gives it to him. So they've all reconciled, and then he says that to her, and she's like, well, how are you feeling now about troubles? And he's like, you know, I feel pretty good or something. And the lights go off, and then you see the fireworks going off above their apartment because it's New Year's Eve. So I tell you, and I almost enjoyed it more on the second watch that I had of it. It is a great movie. It was very moving, you know. But again, I at first worried about it when I first recommended it to you because I thought, oh, you're, you know, it was kind of reminded me maybe like the Indian one. It just started slow.
Right.
But it's a great character build. I mean, do you agree?
Yeah. So, yeah, a couple of thoughts. So, I think you did a great job summarizing it. You know, again, the relationship between the husband and wife and the brother, just love to see that evolve. I think the one part where they go to ask for the hand of the girl in marriage, great movie, right? The two brothers of the girl are just looking there like saying, "Dad, can we kill him right?"
Well, there's so much you have left out, but they had beaten him up.
Yep.
They said that he raped the girl.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I think it's a great movie. In fact, you know, about, I don't know if you saw this in your research or not, but this movie was nominated for multiple awards in Turkey. Whatever their version of the Academy Awards are, for Best Actor for him, Best Screenplay, Best Supporting Actress, the wife.
Wow. And, no, I did not see that.
And they won. They won for Best Screenplay and for him for Best Actor. So, like, I think it is a phenomenal movie to watch. From a pure movie perspective, I would highly recommend
it. I'm so glad you agree with it, because what I realized is, and this happens because especially when you're doing it, you know, a show where you're going to talk and kind of critique and review a movie, I think the first time I go through it, I'm watching so many different things and thinking about so many, I don't just enjoy the story, right? And it, so, you know, I'm like, did it click all these boxes and all that? So the second time I went through, I just kind of sat back and I thought, it was like getting me, you know, I was like really feeling for it. And I think the first time through, I was like, oh, he's kind of a sad sack, you know, he's depressed. And the second time, I'm like, I get it. And I, that whole time when he says, you know, when you're at the bottom and you're giving your all,
yeah,
but you're embarrassed, you know, and it's so, and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, I can identify with that.
And he doesn't have faith in his family to say that they would see what he's done, right? He thinks they'll be embarrassed of him. So,
but she, the wife, and then like, you know, when he finally fesses up and then she's like, oh, you look great in red. I mean, it was just, and I'll tell you and we're going to talk about this in the customs, but you know, a 99% Muslim country put on this film and, you know, he's playing Santa. I really got the Christmas feels in this movie, you know? And I guess we can go into like, okay, was it festive?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Not only because of the presence of someone dressed in Santa, but just the emotion that comes through at the end and how really the Santa spirit unites the family.
It absolutely. And that's the thing. That's the magic that comes through. It's the image. And, you know, and they all like the kids are running. They want to get pictures with Santa, and he feels differently when he puts the costume on. So absolutely, hands down. And then feeling to me, I thought this is one of those films that I'm like I could watch this again and again because I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're going to agree a lot on this one. I think very festive. I felt relieved at the end, not because it was over, but because for him, right, that you know, finally he had faith in his family to sort of talk about what he did, use the Santa spirit to go in to the reception and, you know, get everybody dancing and singing. So, but I felt relieved. I felt fulfilled that he got relief, or I was relieved that he got fulfilled, I guess.
Yeah, but it's not like, oh my gosh, happy ending, everything's going to be perfect. His life isn't going to change, but his perspective has changed.
Yeah.
His point of view. Now, you know, I think he's going to now have some successes, have some wins, you know?
I think in the end, he's seeing that other people have problems, that even solving other people's problems is something that's rewarding. So, yeah. And that the fireworks at the end, who knows, maybe there'll be a sequel where there's a baby.
Maybe that honey works, right? And for future, I mean, I definitely know, I know I'm going to watch it again because I want to share it. I think I want to share it at least, I know, with my wife and maybe even with my kids. I want them to see that because this is a good one.
Agreed. Yeah. Yep. I would recommend it. I probably will watch it again myself.
So, do you know how to say Merry Christmas in Turkish?
No.
Here's a funny thing. I don't know I don't believe they said it at all in the movie.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember them ever actually saying it.
Yeah, because he's saying ho, ho, ho all the time.
Right.
And Happy New Year.
Right.
He's and never Happy New Year.
Right. Yeah. But you can. So it's Mutwa Nilarsh. Mutwa Nilarsh. And the word Christmas is plural. So it's kind of like Merry Christmases. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but that's just kind of how it is. So you want to try it?
Mutwa Nilarsh? No?
See, the good thing is since we didn't hear it in the movie, we sound great. I think a Turkish person would be greeting us right back.
With hand gestures?
Yes, exactly. But so let's talk, because I mentioned this. It's 99% Muslim there. But ironically, this is where Santa is from.
Right. I mean,
you know, St. Nicholas, born in Turkey. The roots of Christmas obviously began in Turkey. You know, St. Nicholas, born in Patira, which is near Mira. He was born there in 280 AD. That was, Patira was an ancient and flourishing maritime and commercial city. So this site, it's located on the coast, on the Turkish coast. But so things have changed, you know. Turkey's now 98% Muslim. So because the traditions of Christmas originated there, as you could see, even in the movie, they haven't abandoned all of the traditions of Christmas. I mean,
right.
There were trees, decorations, not a lot. It was subtle, but the mall where he worked was decorated. And obviously they knew who Santa, they actually have a statue to Santa in front of the Church of St. Nicholas in Mira. So, you know, they have a statue to him. And his remains are in a rock sarcophagus that are outside of the church in a park. They have a nice park with that, statue. It has a bag of toys. It has children. He has the beard. But as we've seen in the pictures of St. Nicholas, he's different. He's not the round, rotund right. Santa. He's tall, thin, and a hooded robe. So they have not abandoned. That's where Turkey is, where Santa came from. You can see the streets and stores. Like you'll see trees, you'll see lights, and Saint Nick out. The difference is, and we've seen this in some of the other countries as well, is it's not for Christmas necessarily. They're Christmas has essentially become New Year's.
Right.
You know, New Year's has adopted. Santa Claus is called Noel Baba. That literally means Christmas Dad, Noel Baba.
Oh, that's cute. I like that.
And he brings the gifts are brought on New Year's Eve. So that's like in the movie where Santa like showed up, like you would say on Christmas Eve, they said, when his brother-in-law at the wedding saying, yeah, you know, he was making dressed as Santa, Razi was saying, you know, you thought, I would be too busy tonight to come, but you invited me to your wedding. So I'm here just like, so they, Christmas Eve is kind of like New Year's Eve for them. And, even though the trees that you see, cause you see some of them decorated there, they're not Christmas trees, they're New Year's Eve trees. New Year's Eve trees, and they're called Yabusha Idja. Yabusha Idja in Turkey. They were originally supposed to be wish-making trees, so you'd make wishes on them. The Christmas menu there in Turkey, you can have up to 20 or more dishes served.
Gosh, wait till I tell Sue we're celebrating a Turkish Christmas.
I think we lay it out right here in our studio. They kind of break it up, which is kind of like this. It's almost like the appetizers and the main dish. But so they have the cold dishes, which are the fresh vegetables and the cheeses. And then they serve the hot ones after that. It's accompanied by raki, which is an alcoholic drink made of twice distilled grapes. So we gotta start marking down the things that we're going to borrow from each show and have this year.
Do you know, I actually had Rocky.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Very, very good. Very,
were you in Turkey?
I was not in Turkey. I was it was in a restaurant downtown in Chicago. Wow. And so I would say I would drink it again. It was,
really
like, you know, there's a really dry wine. That's what it reminded me of, but immediately went to my head.
No,
it was strong alcohol.
It's that double distilling.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and the second one too, another popular one is called Celib. And this one sounds kind of more like eggnog-ish. You know, it's a mixture of milk or boiling water, cinnamon, and a special flower that comes from the tubers of Anatolian orchids.
Wow.
Now, Mark, this is what I love about this podcast. To learn these things, you know what I mean? Like, there's a drink out there that we have to have that's milk and, what is it, nutmeg? No, nutmeg. Milk and cinnamon and some Anatolian orchids. Now, talk about that. That's what you need to drink before you go see Mannheim Steamroller next time.
I think that's right. Exactly. Highly recommend you do something.
And then the last kind of funny one is that the Turkish people like to wear red clothes during the holidays, and it's to attract abundance. That's the idea. And maybe that's why she said you look so good in red. But the funny thing that they like to do is to gift each other red underwear. And if you, the tradition or the custom is if you wear red underwear on New Year's Eve, it'll bring you good luck.
Bob, what's this box next to me?
I hope I got the right size.
As long as it's not too small.
If not, that could be your headband for your next Halloween costume.
Exactly.
But now it's time to put on those red underwear and get up and shake your booty, because we're talking Turkish music.
Awesome.
This calls for some Christmas music.
Yes, this Christmas music.
What kind of Christmas music is that?
The least you could do is play some Christmas music.
And now back to Christmas music.
So, Mark, this song, it comes from an album that's called Melikili Kulik Nerin, which translates to Listen to the Angels. Hmm. Now, obviously, we have tons of albums and, you know, various many, many different renditions of holiday tunes. But this album was the first full-length Turkish Christmas album. First one. And guess when it was released?
1995.
No, 2011. You know, but I mean, we've been having Christmas carols, you go back to England, like, you know, centuries. Yeah, right. No, 2011. It's comprised of some classic Christmas carols that have been translated into Turkish, but we like to go, you know, we like the original. So we have some, there were some original Turkish Christmas songs, and this one is called Vutki Bi Kotlama Vash, which means there's a celebration in heaven.
Gökte bir kutlama var katılın, coşun beraber meleklerde, bebek olup geldi kurtarmaya, yaratan Tanrı.
Mark, doesn't this kind of remind you in the wedding when they're playing the music and everyone's clapping along?
Yeah.
I've never been to a wedding where they've done that, but how great was that? People are dancing and everyone's clapping to the music.
Yeah, it was a beautiful moment. I like that song a lot.
Yeah, it's great. And it was put out by, there's a radio station, Radio Sharma, which is a network of radio stations there in Turkey to broadcast to the Christian Turks, which amount to about 4,500 people, but there are a lot of immigrant refugees there now. And so in that country of about 80 million people, they think there's about 4 million who tune in and listen to Radio Sharma. And the great thing about this singer, her name is Esmer Erden. She's a singer, but right now she's the vice principal of the Oasis International School.
Wow.
I know. How about that? You know,
I just love the beat of it. It's exciting. I mean, yeah, I wonder. I mean, I have a feeling even those who don't embrace Christmas, even in the U.S., I still think people listen to Christmas carols, listen to Christmas songs.
Oh, yes.
Right? Even though, I mean, there's a lot of joy, there's a lot of happiness in it. And that's what I felt, even though I don't know what all the full translation of those words, it just seemed very upbeat.
There's a station, a radio station, I just discovered it's online, and it's called The Sounds of Christmas. They play Christmas music all year long. And basically their tagline is, you know what, if you ever need the lift, you know, you want to just tune in, pick yourself up your mood, and, you know, you can tune out. Thinking about this, I mean, we found a movie in Turkey.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah. So here's the challenge. Where do you think is the hardest movie or country that we're going to have to find a movie from? And we'll use that, you know, this will be our challenge.
So challenge. Yeah. You know, that's a really good question. So I have two countries that just immediately went to mind. My first one is maybe Russia, just because everything is so controlled there. I mean, similar, kind of going down that same logic is, I think maybe Russia and China might be hard. Yeah. Like, yeah. You know, just based on, you know, not to get political, but just based on their political beliefs,
yes.
Right? Like, they don't really exude joy. But that's my first thought. What about you?
I mean, well, first I thought, oh, Israel, right? It just jumped out at me. But then I thought, you know, because it's, you know, predominantly Jewish in that. But then I'm like, you know, I don't think so because, you know, Jerusalem, it's the basket.
Bethlehem.
Yes, right there. So I'm like, yeah, no, I think that we'd be able to find one, you know? So then I was thinking probably, you know, one of the African nations.
Okay.
You know, Botswana, you know, Nigeria, something like, and I don't know, but it'll be interesting. But yeah, so we got Russia, China, or maybe a nation in Africa.
Well, let's get our research team on that immediately, Bob. How many people are in that research team?
They all just left. They all just got on planes. They're going right now. They're off to find us, to find us our movie. So Mark, you know, coming off of this great movie, some great customs and a good song, I'm going to leave you with an uplifting quote.
Okay.
And it rhymes too. So peace on earth will come to stay when we live Christmas every day.
I love that.
And it's not Dr. Seuss. It's Helen Steiner Rice.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Mark, I wanted to say Merry Christmas again to you in Turkish, but I cannot remember what it is. So instead, I'll say, thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Bob. It was a lot of fun. I have to be honest, when you first said, you know, the movie today was from, it was going to be from Turkey, I really did think it was like a play on Thanksgiving, but this was a great movie.
I wish I could say that. That came up after and I go, how ironic, we're in Turkey in November. That's awesome.
Yep. Great show tonight.
Thank you.
Actually, we're done.
Done.
It's over. Over, over. It's over.
It's over. Kaput. Finito.
It's over. It's over.
It's over. This has been a Waysound Studio production.
And sound engineering on our show is by Jake Fontana.